Attention, South Dakota residents. Everything is fine. Everything is beautiful. Go back to your homes. Go back to your jobs. Trust in the authority.
Work, eat, stay asleep. Work, eat, stay asleep. Work, eat, stay asleep. Work, eat, stay asleep.
Keeping you docile and distracted during times of uncertainty. This is the South Dakota Department of Propaganda Podcast.
Former President Donald Trump has been convicted on all 34 counts of falsifying business records in a criminal hush money trial. This makes him the first former commander-in-chief to be a convicted felon. He can still run for president, but he may not be allowed to vote.
The jury agreed with the prosecution's argument that Trump paid adult film star Stormy Daniels to keep quiet about an alleged encounter, undermining the 2016 presidential election. His former lawyer, Michael Cohen, and a paper trail of evidence played a key role in the case.
Post-verdict, Trump plans to appeal, claiming the trial was unfair due to its location in New York City. His sentencing is scheduled for July 11, and he could face up to 4 years per count.
Meanwhile, shares of Trump media dipped following news of the conviction, and President Biden remained relatively quiet post-verdict. As the dust settles, there's uncertainty about whether Trump might serve jail time, face probation or fines, or potentially be placed under house arrest.
Donald Trump found guilty on all 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first
degree. You're a criminal, Donald. That's what the jury said. Not the deep state. Not the Democrats. Not the Biden administration. A jury. Regular people who saw the evidence and felt sick. You're a criminal. And you did it to yourself.
Nobody's ever seen anything like this. It's a shame.
Your defense was weak because you're weak. They had no argument because there is no argument. You were too scared to testify because you knew Donald. You know. You're guilty. Guilty as sin. Guilty as charged.
So Governor Kristi Noem has signed House Bill 1125 into law in South Dakota, which as of July 1st, 2024, bans certain hemp-derived THC products.
Specifically, the law prohibits the chemical modification or conversion of hemp and targets products labeled as Delta 8, Delta 10, THCO, THCO acetate, HHC, and THCP.
These compounds are all derived from the cannabis plant. The law focuses on products sold as Delta 8 and Delta 10. It's worth noting that while Delta 8 naturally occurs in cannabis plants, it's usually in small amounts.
So to produce a Delta 8 product with an intoxicating effect similar to marijuana, Delta 8 must be artificially produced. This is usually done by converting another compound found in the plant, CBD, into Delta 8 THC.
That chemical conversion process, along with the sale of products produced by it, is what this new law is set to prohibit. However, an unmodified Delta 8 THC product could still be sold post July 1st, but it's less likely to be popular as it contains too little THC to produce a psychoactive effect.
Interestingly, there seems to be a loophole for non-medical THC in South Dakota. The law states that cannabinoids produced by decarboxylation from a naturally occurring cannabinoid acid without the use of a chemical catalyst do not count as a chemically derived cannabinoid. This means that THCA is still on the market.
But this might change soon. The DEA's chief of drug and chemical evaluation doesn't believe THCA meets the qualifications of a hemp product. And with Congress preparing updates to the 2018 Farm Bill, this loophole could close.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has denied receiving compensation for an online testimonial video she did for Smile Texas, a dental service provider.
This comes in response to a lawsuit lodged by consumer advocacy group, Travelers United. They suggested she might have received discounted dental services in exchange for her endorsement, which wasn't mentioned in the video.
The lawsuit was dismissed after the group failed to prove Noam had been served the litigation. However, the group has now made a proof of service filing and alleges Noam and her staff were hostile to a legal processor.
You got a felony. You got a felony. Man, your road looks tough ahead. Gonna be miles and miles away from your bed. The judge's words repeating in your head. Boy, you got a felony.
The group Travelers United sued South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem over her promotion of a Texas dental office, Smile Texas. They are alleging that she may have violated the law by not disclosing any potential financial relationship with Smile Texas.
However, Governor Noem's spokesman Ian Fury has denied the allegations and defended Noem's character. He also stated that she did not receive compensation for any supposed advertisements.
The plot thickens, though, as the lawsuit was dismissed because the court found that Travelers United failed to personally deliver the lawsuit paperwork to Governor Noem by the required deadline. But the attorney for Travelers United, Lauren Wolf, is seeking to have the case reinstated.
Wolf has filed a proof of service document which outlines numerous attempts made by their process-serving company, One Legal, to serve Noem with the lawsuit papers. These attempts include visiting the governor's office and home, and even at a public luncheon.
Wolf argues that Noem's comments about the case on social media and other factors constitute sufficient proof of service. She mentions that their process server found Noem to be highly evasive and also threatening.
Meanwhile, Travelers United also has another pending lawsuit against Smile Texas, accusing of running ad campaigns lacking required disclosures.
It'll be interesting to see how this turns out.
I paid hush money because I've had a lot of fun. I fought the law and the law won. I'll be taking naps until it's all done. I fought the law and the law won. Somehow I'm still allowed to run. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. Take me home, mommy. This is too tough for me.
Former President Donald Trump has been convicted on 34 felony charges, marking the first time in American history a former president or major party candidate has been convicted of a crime.
Quite a historic development. It's left people with a range of emotions, from surprise and joy to anger and indifference. Some see it as justice served, while others take Trump's side, calling it a perversion of justice.
Despite this conviction, Trump remains the most dominant force in the GOP. Before the verdict, polls indicated another White House term was within his reach.
The big question now is whether the GOP will push forward into the November general election with a convicted felon as its nominee. Trump has made it clear he's not stepping aside and will seek redemption at the ballot box.
That certainly sets us up for a rocky and unprecedented presidential race. USA Today interviewed swing state residents within hours of the verdict, with many still grappling with the news.
In Wisconsin, some were shocked by the verdict, while others felt justice was served. Nevadan voters expressed respect for the judicial process, with one voter believing the appellate court would reverse the verdict before the election.
In Pennsylvania, the verdict did not seem to sway political leanings. One independent voter maintained that it didn't change his perspective on either Biden or Trump.
Meanwhile, in Michigan, opinions were divided as to whether or not the trial was fair. Some supported Trump irrespective of the verdict, while others believed his return to office would only reignite old controversies.
Arizona had a similar range of reactions, with some slamming the verdict and others undecided on how it would influence their vote.
No matter where voters stood on Trump's conviction, it's clear his presence continues to be divisive and raises questions about what comes next in American politics.
Us on a world scale every single day. I'm chanting, ooh, Donald, baby, ooh, you're always in court. How are you to win? I'm chanting.
Prosecutors claim Trump concealed payments made to porn star Stormy Daniels in 2016.
Right after the verdict announcement, Governor Kristi Noem labeled it a wrongful conviction, accusing the jury, judge, and prosecutor of bias. She even suggested that Trump's constitutional rights were violated and that the conviction would be overturned on appeal.
Noem has long been a Trump supporter, receiving his endorsements, and is even considered a potential vice president candidate if Trump decides to run in 2024.
However, she's also faced considerable criticism recently due to controversial stories in her book. Among them, a false anecdote about meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and false statements that Senator Mike Rounds had called for Trump to bow out of the 2016 race.
Other South Dakota leaders have expressed their views too. Senator John Thune believes the case was politically motivated, while Representative Dusty Johnson shared a statement from Virginia's Attorney General claiming the case moved forward because the defendant was Trump.
Senator Mike Rounds voiced concerns about the verdict's impact on national unity and the potential for an appeals process. To quote him, "This is going to be hard to bring people back together again." The average age for first-time marriages in the United States has been on the rise since 2000. However, South Dakotans are bucking the trend, ranking number 6 for the lowest median age for marriages at 26.7 years old, which is 6.5% below the national average.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, women in South Dakota typically get married at 25.5 and men at 27. The national average, on the other hand, stands at 28.4 for women and 30.2 for men.
A variety of reasons could explain this difference. One might be the conservative beliefs prevalent in several states. Pew Research Center reports that 47% of South Dakotans identify as conservative, and almost 59% of the population is religious. Studies have shown a link between religion and early marriages.
This trend towards later marriages started in the 1950s, but has accelerated since the turn of the 21st century. Now people are typically marrying in their late 20s or early 30s. One reason cited is higher education and career development taking precedence over starting a family.
Financial instability is another reason younger generations are waiting until they are stable to commit to marriage and a family. With starting a family seen as an investment, some people are waiting until they pay off debt before taking the step.
This shift in age of marriage is also having an impact on divorce rates, and birth rates in the U.S. birth rates have been declining over the past decades, and women who get married later in life have fewer children. Divorce rates are also on the decline. People who get married later in life are less likely to get divorced compared to those who marry young.
Despite these changes, South Dakota's birth rates are still higher than the national average. but it's worth noting that divorce rates in 2021 were at their lowest since 1972.
That's it for today.